flowers on the wall that don't bother me at all. Playing solitaire till dawn with the deck of 51. Smoking cigarettes and watching Captain Kangaroo. Now don't tell me I've nothing to do.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Monday, 251-343-0106. I got a few texts to get to here. We'll get to those in the next few segments. So the feedback is appreciated. But joining us now on the line, every other Monday, we're blessed to be joined by our good friend, State Representative Shane Stringer. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing great as always, Jeff.
Hey, thanks for making time. Well, we'll kick it off here. Did you have a good holiday, Representative?
Yeah, we had some great family time and ate too much as always. But other than that, had a great time.
That's good to hear. Let's talk. I guess it's compared to a year ago where we were sitting here, we were talking a lot about what to expect in the upcoming legislative session. It feels a little more subdued. Maybe that's just because we were finally done this quadrennium, I think, with the gambling question. But, I mean, you guys, I assume, are still kind of gathering in February. We'll be here sooner rather than later.
Yeah, it's coming up on us pretty quick. You know, we got, seems to be a little quieter, you know, talk, I guess, leading up to the session so far. But that don't mean it will be quiet. You never know with Montgomery. It could get chaotic at any point.
Yeah, and what kind of news will hit the like last year you were earlier this year I should say it seems like a year ago like the surprise IVF situation and things of that sort to sort of crop up out of the blue, but the heavy lift stuff, I said this, you got a lot of it done in the first half of the last session. Look here, maybe they take another crack at something like ethics or something like that. But like the big headline screaming stuff, I think that's we're winding down, and it's 2 years away. You're right, but 2 years until the 26th cycle, and people are kind of looking over the shoulder, looking around, and getting ready, and that really puts a lot of a wet blanket on any sort of effort for like a big overarching sort of legislative push.
Yeah, I agree. Unless something like the IVF falls in our lap or something, I don't know. I'm not hearing any big ticket items being talked as of right now. But, you know, I guess anytime you got an election coming up or close by, they start, you know, we start looking at that more than trying to push some of this. And then a lot of the heavy lifting's already been done. I'm not sure about the ethics. You know, typically if it ain't something that's got a real strong chance at passing, then that chances that being brought back up is slim too. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting kind of listening out to see what the rumblings are and kind of what to expect in the next session.
Well, the IVF stuff is interesting that you mentioned. I mean, something's going to have to be done on that because the immunity, I think I remember this. I mean, it's going to be up in a year around the same time y'all are in session. And I know, you know, you haven't heard too much about where lawmakers are leaning on that.
Yeah, I think we need to come up with a good balance. You know, The full-blown blanket immunity for physicians, I'm not sure that was the best solution. But, you know, we worked on it and tried to put together something quick, fast, and in a hurry to address the issue to try to keep it from getting shut down in the state of Alabama. And, of course, the whole nation was looking at us during that. So, you know, I think we're going to have to come back and really put some serious thought in it and try to make sure that You know, we've got some common sense legislation there to address it, to keep the IVF working for Alabama, but also to make sure that we're not just doing blanket immunity for people.
Well, there's got an interesting bill on, it's on Daily News, or it was yesterday, and it gets to this whole transgender, and look, it's illegal in Alabama to perform transgender or gender altering procedures on a minor, but he's going to open up the, the statute of limitations or whatever on these surgeries for 15 years. So if you perform this when you're at some stage when you're a minor or whatever, and you can go back and show, I guess, that this wasn't necessarily what you thought it would be, you have the ability to sue the doctor. And it sounds like a way to kind of disincentivize these sort of procedures.
Yeah, and that's very likely what that's about. You know, you wouldn't think that we would be having this kind of conversation in Alabama, but unfortunately we are. You know, and we had people that came and testified in the committee hearings over the last few years in relation to this bill and bills similar to this. You know, just saying that they wish they had not done it, you know, and they had made mistakes and didn't receive the counseling or the information that they would have needed to not make the decision. So, you know, I think you're exactly right. This is, you know, probably another step towards trying to force people to rethink this and, you know, to think it out before they make that kind of step.
Something we haven't talked about, Wall, Representative, and 45, and, you know, I guess you got to give it the old college try again and try to set up some meetings. And I haven't, it's been a little bit since I've been up that way, but I haven't, you know, since then, I haven't seen really any noticeable changes or anything like that between the Mississippi state line and Pritchard. It's just, you know, well, we'll look at it. We'll do some, I mean, we're obviously no interest in four-laning or widening it to the state line, but they talked about maybe speed limit reductions or doing something, and I haven't really even seen that.
Yeah, I'll you know, get back on trying to set up some meetings with the governor and ALDOT and see what we can come up with, see if we can continue to let them know that we're here and be the squeaky wheel. You know, I was up in Citronelle this weekend, and it's lots of traffic, and to the point that, man, you can't even hardly pull out of a business up there onto 45 unless you're at an intersection at a red light. So, you know, still a major problem. You know, lots and lots of traffic coming through there on a daily basis. And then you throw in your vacation and summer times, and you, you know, you also come up with the holidays and that kind of stuff, man, it really gets congested up there. So I don't know. They keep kicking the can down the road, but we are absolutely going to have to address this at some point.
What do you think? I mean, it seems like a lost cause with this administration. New administration. Is there anything you do different? I mean, and maybe it's Ainsworth, maybe it's somebody else's governor, maybe, you know, whoever the ALDOT director is. What do you think you need to do here to sell this project?
I'm not sure. You know, we're going to have to continue to put pressure on leadership and, you know, try to get their assistance and help in accomplishing this. And, you know, we, there's so many projects across the state that there's always other needs everywhere. So we have got to get enough support from leadership to try to turn things around and get the right help that we need. And Speaker Ledbetter has promised myself and Representative Brett Easterbrook that he was going to help us with this. And, you know, we'll go back to him and just ask him to continue to press and try to help get the funding available for this type project.
Well, here's what seems to be lacking in this discussion. And I don't know how you go about finding this, like a price tag, like, you know, just we don't know what something like this, it's a weird place to be in the state where these things are such, it's like a cloak of secrecy. It's like a need to know basis. But I mean, like, when we can start talking about dollars and cents, make something like this more feasible. Like, well, what do we think we need to do just to know, be more in the know?
Yeah, good question. You know, I've reached out to some of our road builders across the state trying to get just that information. And, you know, it seems to be a tough question to ask, I guess. You get all the answers of the acquisition of land and everything that goes along with this, moving utilities and all of that. But, you know, as long as we've been building roads across the state of Alabama, we should have a pretty good idea of what that entails. So I don't think it's too hard of a question to ask at this point. So, you know, we'll continue to ask and continue to push. You know, I've said it over and over and over again that we could do this similar to what Mobile County Commission does in Mobile, which is the pay-as-you-go program. And, you know, we pave 5 or 10 miles or four lane 5 or 10 miles at a time until we get this done. And that way one generation's not stuck trying to four lane the whole 60 plus miles or 60 miles. So I think that it's a doable project. We just need somebody with some vision that's kind of can accept what I'm trying to sell and hopefully get on board, and let's see if we can't accomplish it.
Yeah, I hear you. Let's move on to something else here. We talk about the session coming up next year. And, you know, during the summer, we were talking about the state playing a bigger role in, you know, local crime. And you know, these bigger cities, Montgomery and Birmingham in particular, that seems to sort of gone away. And to their credit, these municipalities have played ball with the AG's office and done some things to try to curb some of the problems. But, Representative, the thing you keep hearing, and you hear this from lawmakers, especially Democrat lawmakers, but a few Republicans as well, they want to tinker with gun laws. I mean, we keep the one that won't go away, Representative, is we need to do something to roll back your constitutional carry law. You keep hearing things like that, and it's all in the name of solving the crime. What do you anticipate there? Are they going to do you think the big 10 mayors are going to try to take a stab at doing something like that? Rolling back what I perceive to be a very popular law in Alabama.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they don't take a shot at it. I'm sure they're doing polling just like everybody else is, and anybody that's doing polling is seeing how popular that legislation is. And, you know, and if they're in tune with their constituents and our state and our communities, then they're not going to want to be on the wrong side of that. So, I mean, the fact is we are elected to represent our constituents and our communities and our state. And that was something that they pushed and the citizens pushed and wanted, and we did it. So, you know, I've already seen some pre-filed gun legislation that's coming out from the Democrats, and, you know, not expected. That's almost every year. So we're constantly fighting against some of this bad legislation and trying to make sure that we're protecting the rights of our citizens and not letting the few bad actors dictate, you know, the lawful gun owners' rights.
Well, the funny thing is when there's some sort of problem or whatever, one of these mass shootings, and then look, we've been pretty hard on this judge up in Jefferson County who's handed out these lenient sentences. You talk about these judges and sort of the backlog in the criminal justice system and all of that, but these mayors, they don't go after the system. They go after like you for your constitutional carry. It just seems like it seems like you're being scapegoated here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said, the Second Amendment is not a group right. It's an individual right. So when you've got a few bad actors that go out and do something horrible with a gun or whatever, that don't mean you go and pull everybody's rights. This is absolutely not a group right. It's an individual right. And some people don't comprehend that or accept that, but that's the way it is. You know, if an individual does something wrong that prohibits them, then we absolutely prohibit them from owning guns. And we even put them in our prohibited person database, and we'll put them in jail if they're caught with another weapon, you know. So there's checks and balances in place to address this. The fact is, you know, solving crime and solving issues in our communities is tough and requires a lot of hard work and decision in doing this. And some of these mayors and elected officials don't want to do that. They're looking for an easy out or the easy solution, and there is none.
I mean, that's just some of it, right? Like, rather than talk about crime and the culture, it's something like constitutional carry. Yeah, it just seems I don't know, just a little too ideological and scapegoaty. But they're sticking with it. Are you surprised? Let me ask you this, and we'll wrap it up on this. You're still taking heat for this. And it's strange to me because the state, I think, overwhelmingly kind of supports what you've done. But it's like this. It's like you opened up Pandora's box or something, and you gave the people what they want without really thinking about the consequences, and therefore you're a villain.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it kind of goes back to follow the money. I mean, if we get down to the root of this, ultimately, throughout this whole fight, it's been about money. It's been about the extra money that the sheriff's office were receiving off a permit. So, you know, that's what it boils down to. And then it's also become an excuse for some of these cities that are not supporting their law enforcement and the rule of law in trying to make sure that we're protecting our citizens. So I think that you're going to continue to see this come up. And, you know, I don't see it being changed or anything. I've spoken to leadership. They're steadfast on where we're at, and you know, and I definitely am. I'm not going to back down. We've done the right thing, and the crime in Mobile absolutely dropped the year after constitutional carry passed. We've seen it in other states where the crime has dropped. So the numbers are there to support what we've done is the right thing.
Well, leave it there, Representative. As always, we appreciate your time, and we'll do this again in a couple of weeks.
Sounds good, man. Y'all have a great day.
State Representative Shane Stringer there. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.